When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the American Pipeline Podcast, presented by BetMGM and McKinney Hockey. I'm Mike Stevens. Across from me is Sydney Wolf from The Rink Live. Sydney, how you doing?
Doing good. It's been a busy week. I heard you guys got some snow. I also was in sort of a snowmageddon here in Minnesota, which was interesting because I know my background's different again. I'm in a hotel for the Minnesota Girls State Tournament. It's big week this week, busy week, but it sounds like everybody's kind of getting some crazy weather and some crazy snow here, which is wild.
Yeah. We're on storm watch right now. We got hit with a particularly intense amount yesterday. It's not necessarily snowing right now, but it is cold and it's going to get colder the next couple of days. So that's a lot of fun. Something to look forward to. Look, this has been an extremely mild winter. We're all going to die. so that it's basically confirmed there, but this has been mild winter. So I don't mind the frigid temperatures. We've been having it too good for too long.
Oh yeah.
Let's launch into the show here, starting with some NCAA news, specifically Logan Cooley, one of the biggest standouts from the World Juniors, a huge draft, third overall draft pick. Crazy, just a crazy, talented prospect, arguably one of the best prospects ever, not ever, but like in the league right now. He had a massive weekend this week. He had a massive weekend this past weekend, playing his home state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about Logan Cooley, but first I gotta remind everybody that this is actually our last week on SoundCloud, so gotta remind everybody of that. So just alert. Keep this in the back of your mind. Last week on SoundCloud, all links to your preferred streams can be found in the description below for now. So make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single show. And you can also just look up the Hockey News American Pipeline if you'd rather search for it. We're still going to be uploading all the episodes to the THN website. So just be aware of that. So some changes coming. So just make sure you're not looking in different places here.
Absolutely. Now, I was under the impression that I was supposed to say that at the end of the show, not at the start of the show. So I'm getting a lot of flack from a producer right now. And I thought I was supposed to say it at the end.
Well, you know,
so
we can probably do both.
Because we'll end up doing both.
If people are skipping through the show, then they can hear, one at the beginning, one at the end, or one from me, one from you. Then
they'll
definitely have at least one of our voices in the back of their minds.
Thank you for picking up the slack there, Sydney. I appreciate that. And speaking of picking up the slack, why don't you tell us about Logan Cooley's fantastic weekend?
Yeah, so going back to that, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody already heard about this, honestly, but Logan Cooley just had a massive weekend, an absolutely electric weekend, and it was back in his home state of Pennsylvania, so it was kind of like a homecoming for him of sorts, because Minnesota was playing Penn State, so that actually was kind of interesting, kind of cool to see. He actually had 5 points in one game. It was like a goal and 4 assists, which is wild. That's quite a feat to do. And then the next night he also had an assist. So he had a really big weekend. And looking at sort of his past few games here, even he scored a point in every game he's played since January 13th in a tie against Notre Dame. So he's on definitely a hot streak as of late. And from what I read on, I believe it was the Minnesota Twitter account, they said he's the only Big Ten player to have a 5-point game so far this year. So, I mean, that's pretty huge. Everybody was kind of blown away by his performance in that first game, and yeah, absolutely massive, absolutely electric, as I like to say. But sort of related to him too, I've been hearing a lot about Logan Cooley, and then this weekend I've also been hearing a ton about his cousin, I believe it is LJ Mooney, another cool name, Cooley and Mooney. That's kind of cool, but he's a name that I've been hearing more and more about for, I think it's the 2025 draft, like coming up in a couple years. But I heard a lot about Logan Cooley this weekend. I heard a lot about his cousin LJ Mooney. I'm like, wow, that family just must have something good running through there to have all these like high level players sort of linked together. But yeah, huge weekend for him. It was pretty crazy to see.
Yeah, that's huge. Also, like the fact that his cousin is named LJ Mooney.
I think that's a super cool name. Like
that's first of all, that's an extremely cool name. LJ Mooney sounds like a like an old timey detective, or you know, like from a noir movie. Like it's fantastic. But yeah. Like I just glanced at our prep and I was just expecting you to say LJ Cooley. Just because
that'd
of the
be
double
cool
O.
Too. Yeah.
But no, it's LJ Mooney. Phenomenal names all around. I think Logan Cooley is also a very cool name. So phenomenal names around. In the Big Ten, Eric Esposito, another great weekend from a guy in the NCAA in the American pipeline. Why don't you tell us what Eric Esposito's great weekend?
Yeah, so this guy also had a really good weekend, just shouting out some performances and some players I like here this week. So he had a really good weekend. He also had a 5-point night, but this I actually thought first I saw some green and originally thought it was Big Ten, but actually Eric Esposito, Mercyhurst, just was writing so much stuff there. But 5-point night for him and 7-point weekends. So we had some players that just had massive weekends, I guess, in the NCAA here, but he had a 7-point weekend. 5-point night in two games against Army. He plays for Mercyhurst. So 7 points, 2 games, 3 goals, 4 assists. That's pretty wild. And honestly, I thought his story was really interesting. If you look through his stats, he was a transfer. He played 4 years at New Hampshire. Didn't really have good stats at New Hampshire. I mean, his best season, I think, was like 10 points maybe in a year. So nothing really even close to what he's doing. He transferred to Mercyhurst for his fifth and final year, that COVID eligibility that everybody's been getting. And he's having just by far his best season. And I've been kind of seeing this a little bit with some players that have, you know, not the greatest 4-year careers. And then they realize, okay, I'm getting one extra year now. This is my chance to make an impact and maybe make a push to see if, you know, I'll be able to play hockey after college. You know, this is their last season. So I think they're like, I really need to make an impact. I'll transfer somewhere. It'll be a change of scenery, a new team. Let's see what I can do with this fifth and final year. So he's sort of just having one of those really phenomenal, just best season that he's had in his fifth year. He's never had more than 10 points. And now he's leading his team in points. I think he's at like 28. So it's really random to just kind of go from 10 or less points for 4 years and then transfer. And now he has literally 25 plus. So really crazy for him. It's kind of cool to see though, that there's a lot of these players just sort of making waves. They realize they get that extra eligibility and then they kind of just, you know, run away with it. So cool to see. And shout out for him, another big weekend in the NCAA.
Very, very cool to see, like you said. So after playing 2 seasons with Northern Michigan, Mac Byers transferred to St. Thomas, and boy, he's been quite the pickup, hasn't he?
Yeah, this was kind of a random one that I didn't think was going to be, you know, St. Thomas picked up a couple of transfers in the offseason. Some of them haven't really done too much. I think they're just players who wanted, again, to play their fifth season somewhere, and they've been fine, but they haven't been, you know, huge parts of the team. But Mac Byers is another sort of interesting, cool story I thought I would talk a little bit about. So like you said, he played 2 seasons with Northern Michigan, transferred to St. Thomas. He had good numbers in juniors, but he just never really caught on to scoring or putting up any points at Northern. So I'm not sure if it was just maybe the team he was with, or maybe it wasn't a good fit for him. I'm not really sure. But he just never really had great seasons. He had 2 points 1 year and 6 points another year. And now at St. Thomas, he's transferred and he has 21 points and he leads the team. So it's kind of another one of those just crazy things where player transfers, and I don't know if it's just the new scenery, the new team. I don't know what it is, or maybe they just randomly catch on and something finally clicks, but he's been leading the team and it's been a great pickup for St. Thomas because now he's their points leader, but he's a Minnesota native. So maybe he's excited to be going to school closer to home. And just St. Thomas too, a couple notes, they've brought in some really good freshmen lately, and I know they're a brand new program. So when they started their first year, they were actually playing with a roster full of players that played D3 the year before, and then the next year were playing D1. So it was a huge jump for some of those guys, and now they're starting to recruit really, really good players that I really enjoy watching. I mean, if you look at their score sheet, I think all the other players behind Mac Byers in points production are all like these new freshmen that they've recruited. Josh Earnesy has been really good. I've liked watching him. Ryan O'Neill, I got to watch a lot in the NAHL. He was a great player in the NAHL. Lucas Wallen, Luke Leyland, Jake Persini, they've recruited really well. So honestly, I think in the next few years, If St. Thomas can keep up the recruits they've had, the transfers they've picked up, I think they're going to just keep getting better and better. And it seems like they're having no trouble picking up some good players and recruiting now. So keep an eye on them here for the next few years, because they're starting to develop some good players.
Absolutely. All right. Now, after spending a lot of time last week talking about Merrimack and how they're letting us down because they were your team to watch for a little while, and we always are rooting for them, and then they just were not doing great. They had a really good weekend. So they basically just, whenever we either compliment them or we get on their case, they do the exact opposite. Lovely to see. But Merrimack had a great weekend, proving us wrong, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. We had that segment last week where it was like, oh, they've had all these losses and ties once 2023 hit, and now it seems like maybe they found their footing. So I don't know. We'll see. They swept BU. It was 4-1 and then 4-3 in overtime, and BU was way higher than them in the pairwise. They're, I think, number 8 now, so they were a top 10. And now Merrimack is 19, so if the tournament was today, they would be close to that cutoff there, because that 19 would not be great positioning. So they still need to get some more wins here, getting closer and closer. A lot of teams only have one or two weekends left here of regular season play before their conference tournaments. So they still are going to need some more here. They still need to make a push, but they had a really good weekend. So maybe they found their footing after, I don't know, not having a great start to the year. Maybe they heard our podcast and were like, we got to pick it up for the American pipeline people. They want to see us succeed. I don't know, but they did way better this last weekend.
Clearly. All right. Now here's your player to watch of the week. Player to watch. It is Mason Loray.
Yeah. So this player, I'm not sure. I don't even remember how many teams we've gone through now for prospect profiles.
A lot.
Too many to keep track of. But Mason Loray is a Boston Bruins second round pick, and he currently has a point per game in the past three games for Ohio State. And I sometimes hear a lot about him and sometimes I don't, but I think he's a really good player. And recently I feel like the buzz has been picking back up a little bit. And he's a big guy. He's got really good size. He's 6'4", about 209 pounds he's listed at. So big guy, left-handed defenseman. He's a little bit on getting to be like a little on the older side, 22-year-old sophomore. So I'd assume if Boston wants him, they'll probably pick him up here in this offseason or the next, because I know they don't want their players to just keep going and going and going in college and keep getting older and older in college. But he's only a sophomore, 24 points in 32 games. So his point production is really good. And he's been the top scoring defenseman for Ohio State this year and last year. So both his years on the team. So really solid defenseman, big guy, and also is going to put up some points for you. So I feel like that's kind of everything you would want in a defenseman. He's got size, he can put up points, and he can defend. So that's kind of all the three things you would want. But this is going to be a really big weekend for Ohio State. They play Minnesota, who obviously has been on a tear. They've been a top, two team here for most of the entire college hockey season. So big matchup there for the Buckeyes. So hopefully he'll be able to be an asset for them here this weekend. But he's been really good. So keep an eye on him. He's my player to watch.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go over to some USHL, high school, et cetera, the minor, sort of junior hockey ranks here. Yeah. Starting with a very scary incident, as Dubuque forward Sean O'Donnell took a skate to the neck. We've seen this a couple times in the NHL, with like there was a horrible one, Clint Malarchuk and Richard Zednik got one and all that. But this is just terrifying, especially considering this is a kid. So hopefully, hope you'll be okay. But holy smokes.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw this. I am in a couple of USHL groups on Facebook just to look up news and stuff. And a couple of people were hoping for updates on him just because they're like, oh, it looks like he took a skate to the face/neck type area, which is always really scary. I think there was one or two last year, too. So I feel like I'm starting to hear about him a little bit more even. But really scary. But the Dubuque put out a press release saying he was released from the hospital. I think it was the day or two after it happened. And they just thanked, the medical staff that was on site for their quick responses. They were able to get out there, and it sounds like he's going to be okay. So obviously wishing him a speedy recovery and glad that nothing too crazy happened and they were able to make sure he was okay. Cause that type of stuff, always scary when, those freak accidents like that happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's just horrifying, you know. So, and especially like you said, he's a kid here. So hopefully things are going to be okay. The fact that he was released from hospital and everything is great sign. But yeah, just terrifying. All right, let's do some commits here. Starting with a phenomenal hockey name, as we've said many times in this show. This one's August Falloon of Tri-City commits to Arizona State, a burgeoning hockey program that seems to be just, you know, really making its way up the ranks here.
Yeah, and this is funny. I wanted to put him on here for our first commitment that we'll talk about because we actually shouted him out a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was my player to watch earlier, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, just because he has made really big strides, honestly, if you look at his stats and his progression in the USHL. He's actually also from St. Cloud, which is where I'm from, so I thought that was kind of cool too. But that's not the reason I put him in here. He was my player to watch, but he's just made really big strides. I mean, his last year, I think he only had 2 points, maybe 2 to 4 points the entire USHL season. So I think he was really just kind of getting adapted to the level of play. A lot of times it'll take guys a year to just get used to, you know, the speed and the skill that is in the USHL. And this year he's really improved. He's 15 points in 34 games. So he's really doing a lot better finding his point production. And he actually just turned 19 today too. The day we're recording, I saw it was his birthday too, which is a little crazy. He committed, I think, like the day before his birthday, 2 days before. It was really recent. But he's also got pretty good size, 6'2", just under 200 pounds. He's been playing on the left wing for the most part lately, and has been kind of up and down the lineup. He was on the top line for a while, and then he'll play on the fourth line for a while. So I think they're trying to just kind of see who he fits with the best, where he plays the best. Again, he's pretty young player, just turned 19. So I would assume he's not going to head to Arizona State this fall, but we'll see. I'm not sure what they need, but obviously congrats and a player that we said is a player to watch just earned a commitment. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool. All right. Keeping it moving on that front is Marcus Brandeman of Dubuque commits to Michigan. This is a goalie going to turn 20 this spring. Very interesting little commit here.
Yeah, this one was just really recent too. And this is a Swedish goaltender. So I know some programs always like those international goalies, only 6 feet. So some people were saying he was, quote, shorter or smaller, but I feel like 6 feet is fine. Just everybody wants those super tall goalies right now. But he's 6 feet tall. He has a 0.907 save percentage right now for Dubuque and is at a 2.91 goals against average, 14 wins, 8 losses, 2 ties. And he was on the World Junior Cup roster for Sweden. So good pickup there for Michigan.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on to a couple of USHL trades and transactions, starting with Zach Sharp of Sioux Falls goes to Cedar Rapids with JJ Weibush. Weibush the other way.
Yeah. You know what? They didn't have a pronunciation chart for his name. And I could not look up any highlight reels of people announcing his name. So I'm going
to
say
setting us up to fail here.
Yeah. So, you know what? I always look it up, but you know, You never know. But yeah, just one trade this week. We calmed way down after a couple weeks ago where it was like trade after trade after trade. So things calmed way down, but Zach Sharp will be going to Cedar Rapids here. He's actually eligible for the draft this summer and was listed at 102 on the central scouting list, so he could be a name you'll hear at the draft this summer. You never know. But he's 6'1", he's 17 years old, left-handed defenseman, not a guy who's been putting up a ton of points quite yet. He has 6 points in 37 games, but he's really young. He's only 17, so not worried about that. And this will be his first full season in the USHL, if I remember correctly. So obviously not everybody's able to just come in and just put up massive points right away. Western Michigan commit, and he's been kind of up and down the lineup playing with different pairings and that type of stuff. And then Weibush, however you say his last name, he's a Merrimack commit. He'll be headed the other way from Cedar Rapids to Sioux Falls. He's 6 feet tall, 19 years old, and he's had pretty good point production, 16 points in 38 games. He's in his first full USHL season, so that's honestly pretty good points production for your first full season in the USHL. And he's originally from Wisconsin. So just that one trade there, players going one way and then back the other way.
Absolutely. All right. Well, elsewhere in the USHL, we have Macklin Celebrini, another great name, just tearing up the league right now. And also seems like he might be heading to college next year.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I feel like every week I see Macklin Celebrini, because he's so good, and he's doing amazing things in the USHL. Is so young. From all the reports that I've heard, it sounds like he's going to be accelerating and going to college in the fall, which would make sense because he's doing so good in the USHL right now for the age that he is. And he currently is leading the league with 62 points in 37 games. Absolutely insane. And from what I heard, the research that I did, it sounds like he's one of, I think, only two USHL players who've been younger than 17 who've had more than 30 goals in a season, and it's not even over yet. So he's just been tearing it up, and he has 15 points in his last five games. That's insane. And he was the first Chicago Steel player to have five goals in one game, in a game against the NTDP, and obviously a huge name for the 2024 draft. So again, he's just been impressing everybody. I feel like every couple days I hear more and more information about how he's breaking records and how everybody loves him and how insanely good he is.
Yeah, I mean, just from those numbers alone, incredible. All right, then we got Blake Steenerson of Maple Grove, another commit here, committing to Vermont.
Yeah, this was just a couple of commits here that I wanted to mention. So this one I wanted to mention because this is a player I was high on earlier in the year. So I was kind of excited that I was like, okay, I had my eye on him, watching him a little bit, and now he earned a D1 commitment. And I'm going to have a feature on him out actually today, that the day that we're recording. So if anyone wants to know more about Blake Steenerson, it should be out on the Rink Live by the time this airs, I assume. But he actually has a really interesting story. He actually played JV his sophomore year, which is really rare to go from JV to then being a player that makes it to the state championship is next year. And now is one of the best players on his team. He's playing with Finn Brink, who's committed to Wisconsin. And he's just one of those guys who's really big. He's going to be that kind of that physical, big, power forward type guy. I was really hype about him after watching him in the Upper Midwest Elite League this past fall. And he currently has 37 points in 25 games for Maple Grove, who's a very good high school team here in Minnesota. And it sounds like his plan is likely to play in the NAHL next year for Minot. He signed a tender with them. He played a couple of games with them earlier this year and already had a point. So I think that's going to be end up being a good pickup for Vermont.
No kidding. All right. Then we got a 16-year-old fella here already committing to college. 16-year-old Nate Deladonna commits to Penn State.
Yeah, just a couple other commitments here. This is a really young player. So Penn State must have been really, really high on him for him to commit this young. Plays for Bishop Kearney Selects. He's a Des Moines Buccaneers draftee, so I assume he'll play for Des Moines this upcoming year. He's just so young. Obviously, he's 16, so that's probably why he wasn't playing this year, but I assume he'll be there in the fall. He currently has 63 points in 52 games right now, so he's tearing it up. Tons of points. He's from New York, and he's added to the Penn State recruit list, and they have some really nice names that'll be coming through their program here in the next couple of years.
No kidding. And then finally, the last commit and the last of our news and notes here is 17-year-old Sebastian Bradshaw commits to New Hampshire.
Yeah, and this is actually a guy who plays for Elite Hockey Academy, over a point per game. Big guy, though, 6'3", and mainly playing center. He had OHL rights to London, but obviously now it sounds like he's going to be going the NCAA route, committing to New Hampshire. And from what I saw on Twitter, the BCHL team, the Trail Smoke Eaters, said that he was going to be an incoming player. So I assume his plan is to play in the BC this upcoming year. So that'll be fun to watch him. And New Hampshire, a nice get for them to add him to their pipeline.
Fantastic. All right. And then moving on to our plunder through the American pipeline. So all different teams. We've now reached the St. Louis Blues. And in stark contrast to last week, where I believe we had like, what, 11, 12 prospects we had to get through. This one, the Blues only have three, but it's led by one of the top prospects in the game right now, Jimmy Snuggerud of Minnesota, someone who is very, very interesting to dive into.
Yeah, the Blues, it seems like, don't have a ton of NCAA guys right now, but they actually had a ton of, you know, like AHL guys and guys from other leagues. So not a ton of NCAA guys, but that's okay, because obviously the first one we're talking about, Jimmy Snuggerud, very good prospect to have in the NCAA. We've already talked about him probably many, many times on the show because he's so good and has done a lot of really good things. 23rd overall pick this past year. So definitely a name that a lot of people know, a lot of people recognize. He's got pretty good size too, 6'2", currently listed around 187 or so pounds. So some pretty good size too, which is a good thing. I know sometimes guys will have really good scoring, but maybe they're a little small. So his size, pretty good. He's only 18 too, and he's been tearing up the NCAA. So that's pretty young for a freshman. But obviously we've seen this year, there's so many young freshmen in college hockey this year that have had no problem with scoring. We've had so many cases of that. But he's originally a Minnesota guy too. So he's from Minnesota, playing for Minnesota, played for the national team development program. So obviously he showed a lot of skill there. That's what ended up, you know, being part of why he got drafted so high. He showed off a lot of his skill playing for the NTDP. He had a massive 13 points in the World Junior Cup this year. He was one of the top guys on that team. And this year for Minnesota, over a point per game, 43 points in 32 games. And obviously he's playing with one of the most electric lines in college hockey this year. That is Matty Nyes, Logan Cooley, and Jimmy Snuggerud. That is just a absolutely insane line. I don't think anyone ever wants to play against those guys because they are just ridiculous. And I feel like they're scoring goals everywhere. Obviously Cooley's like the really flashy guy making really, really cool plays. Matthew Nyes, I feel like, has the game winning goal like every other
every single week. Yeah.
Jimmy Snuggerud is just putting up points like nobody's business. So playing on one of the best lines in college hockey. And I feel like it's one of those things too, where everyone's like, is he going to return for another season of college hockey? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Cause obviously he's really, really good this year, really dominant. That's going to be a decision that he's going to have to make. I have no idea. So we'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely. All right. Then we got not the TikTok star, the hockey player, Noah Beck from Clarkson. He was a 7th round pick in 2020. One of the very, like you said, one of the very few guys in the American pipeline that are in the St. Louis Blues system.
Yeah. I thought that was funny too, that I always see the name Noah Beck and it's like, no, it's not the TikTok guy. It's a different guy with the same name. There must be a lot of people with that name too, whenever I Google it. But if I Google Noah Beck, I have to type like hockey prospect stats to make sure I don't just get like TikTok Noah Beck coming up on my page. But no, it's the hockey Noah Beck, I promise. But he plays for Clarkson. Like you said, 7th round pick back in 2020, a couple years ago. 6'4", left-handed defenseman, so a bigger guy from Ontario. He's a 21-year-old junior right now at Clarkson, who's had some wins, some losses this season, kind of in the middle of the pack there. 20 points in 32 games, so not too shabby for points production. And he's actually the top scoring defenseman on the team. So definitely able to put up some points for Clarkson. And most recently, when I looked at the past few line charts, he was playing with Tristan Sarsland, who's a freshman, a really young freshman this year. So it seems like they're kind of going with like the more upperclassmen, experienced defensemen playing with like a younger, fresh guy. So, yeah, not too sure. I don't get to watch Clarkson a ton, honestly, but it seems like he has pretty good points production and good size. So that's a good thing if you're looking at defenseman prospects.
Absolutely. And then finally, our final prospect here, it's been quite the list. Dylan Peterson of Boston University, 3rd round pick in 2020, rounding out the American pipeline in the St. Louis Blues system.
Yeah, 3rd round pick in 2020, like you said, again, a guy with pretty good size. It seems like the Blues definitely want guys that are a little bit taller, a little bit bigger, at least from the three prospects that we have listed here. A 6'4", about 200-pound forward, so definitely a bigger guy with some good size. 21 years old, so again, a little bit older, but 21 years old from Roseville, California. Isn't really the biggest points production guy, though. If you look at the forwards on BU, he definitely does not seem like the most flashy guy, but it just seems like that's really not his style. If you go back through the years through BU and then back to when he was on the national team on the NTDP, he just wasn't a guy that was putting up, you know, like a point per game or anything like that. That's just not really what he does. This year he has 11 points as a junior, and he's been playing on the fourth line as the right winger for BU. So he doesn't seem like he's going to be that guy who you're going to bring into the system to be the guy who's going to put up points and points and points. It seems like he's going to be more of like that third, fourth line type of depth guy who can bring some scoring, but is more just going to be a depth guy who can help you out, solid forward and a bigger guy who hopefully can bring some physicality as well, but definitely not the same style as Jimmy Snuggerud. It'd be a completely different player, but you know, they got a little bit of everything in the St. Louis Blues pipeline. They got, you know, a flashy player in Jimmy Snuggerud, they got a big defenseman in Noah Beck, and then they have sort of that depth type forward in Dylan Peterson. So a little bit of everything in their three prospects that we talk about, but definitely a much different week compared to, like you said, our 11 or 12, I think we had to talk about last week.
Sometimes that's all you need, you know? Well, we've reached the end of the show here. Thanks a ton for doing this with me, Sydney. As we said at the start of the show, this is our last week on SoundCloud. We are moving somewhere different. So, you know, all the links are in the description below. You know, subscribe so you never miss one. And also you can look up the Hockey News American Pipeline. If you need to find it, we're always going to be on THN. You can listen to this episode, past episodes of any podcast, including this one, of any of the Hockey News podcasts. If you go to thehockeynews.com/podcasts, our archive is there. It's great. Sydney, enjoy your time on the ground in the trenches as you are right now.
Oh yeah.
And I will see you next week.